Chris Clark is a former intelligence officer in Norfolk Police, and now retired, he spends his time exploring cold cases. We heard from him in the second episode of the first case this podcast looked at, about schoolgirl Joanna Young. But for this case, Mr. Clark has spoken to people close to a Suffolk serial killer called Steve Wright. Wright is known as the Suffolk Strangler. He hit international headlines in 2006 when he murdered five prostitutes in Ipswich.
Good evening, I'm Fiona Bruce and welcome to a special programme from Ipswich at the end of a dramatic and tragic week. The bodies of five women, all prostitutes, have been found dumped naked in the Suffolk countryside. Never before have so many murders of this kind been committed in so short a space of time.
Wright was arrested on December the 19th, undone by tiny flecks of blood found on the back seat of his Ford Mondeo, which matched the DNA of one of his victims. He has never admitted his crimes, but was convicted in 2008 and sentenced to life. So what has this got to do with Jeanette? For a start, we're looking for someone with links to Suffolk and South London. Wright ticks both those boxes. He used to live in Suffolk and can be placed in South London at the time Jeanette went missing. Let's hear from Chris.
When this happened, when Jeanette went missing, Steve Wright was living in South London, right?
Yes, I can confirm that just before Christmas 1988, he was actually living in Chislehurst. He took over sometime in 1989 and then sealed the White Horse Public House, which is in White Horse Hill in Chislehurst.
So, I mean, it's not exactly right next to Brixton, is it? It's a bit of a...
It's about 10 miles down the A20 from White Horse to Brixton. But you've got to bear in mind, this man was out of an evening in his relationships. He disappeared in all of his relationships very frequently. No one knew where he was in the evening and night time. So, to me, he ranged far and wide.
Wright also killed his victims in similar circumstances to Jeanette, strangling them and then dumping their bodies in isolated spots. He preyed on vulnerable women and killed them whilst they were incapacitated through heavy doses of drugs.
And so the link with Steve Wright here is A, is geographical, and B, in terms of the pattern of offending, i.e. the fact that he's strangled, you know, other young women who are out by themselves.
Yes, and also the violence prior to Jeanette's murder. She clearly, according to the pathologist, suffered head injuries while she was still alive, up to 48 hours before her death. So again, that would be indicative of a short relationship. It's indicative of Wright's offending. If all of the Ipswich ladies he knew prior to murdering them, and from the research I've been able to establish, he was able to form relationships very, very quickly and then leave just as quick. And there was clearly domestic violence within the short relationships, which his second wife suffered quite badly from.
But there's no evidence to link him to Jeanette at all?
No, there's no actual evidence to link him physically to Jeanette, but to me, the timeline, the geographical profiling of where she went missing from to where she was dumped in relation to Wright's location at the time in London, that's where Suffolk Police should be perhaps looking at.
And would that suggest that she was killed in London rather than and then taken up to Suffolk? Or
I would doubt not. I would suggest that Wright had a bolt hole somewhere where he could have taken her to, then quickly established that the lady wasn't acceptable, and violence. I mean, he could go from a very quiet, nothing sort of person to into a frenzy, typical of the psychopath that he is.
So he might have picked her up without, you know, hitting her around the head and bundling her into his car. It might have just been a friendly, you know, meeting on the street.
To me, the strangulation, the assaulting beforehand of the victim suggests a relationship, albeit very short term. So it's not like she was picked up, abducted and murdered straight away. She was kept somewhere for a couple of days.
Okay, and let's just talk very briefly about what would link Wright to this area of Wangford. We're talking here about the fact he would have driven up the A12 very regularly whilst living in Norwich. Is that the link there?
Yes, I mean, Wright had very good local knowledge all the way from Aldborough up to Trimley St Mary and up to Lowestoft of the coastal areas. He had various jobs during the timeline that he had previously. Yes, he was quite a regular native to Suffolk, and stayed on occasions with his father and stepmother in Chimney St Mary. So, yes, that whole coastal area would be his sort of hunting ground, I would have thought.
And then there is a second death, in very similar circumstances to Jeanette's, 10 years later, in a village called Trimley St Mary in Suffolk, where Wright was living at the time. Teenager Vicky Hall disappeared in the early hours of September the 19th, 1999, in Trimley, while walking home after a night out in nearby Felixstowe. Again, her body was dumped in a ditch in a field, this time near Stowmarket. Wright did come up on the police database. A retired detective who worked on the case said in 2009 that Wright was linked to the case through a car. He said, "One of the early lines was trying to trace a vehicle that followed a young woman the night before Vicky went missing." A partial registration of this car was given to police, and all the vehicles in the area which contained that registration were located through the police national computer. Wright's vehicle was one of them, but he was never questioned. The detective explained this later. He said, "There was no reason to see him. At the time there were thousands of lines of inquiry. There was no evidence to suggest we should have followed it up."
You mentioned Trimley St Mary and that coastal area. Now, I guess adding to your theory is the fact that a girl goes missing in very similar circumstances in Trimley.
Yes, Vicky was just short of her 18th birthday, and during the early hours of that morning, she was a sixth former. She went to the local club with a friend, and they parted company around about 2:30, but Vicky never made it home, and the route home was just 100 yards from Queen Street in Trimley St Mary, which was the Wright family home, and it appeared at the time quite possibly that Wright was there, having come back from Thailand. He was an unknown quantity at the time, and obviously it was never generated as a high profile action for him to be traced, implicated and eliminated.
A quick health warning here. I could probably fill another series of podcasts about cold cases Steve Wright has been linked to. Since his crimes came to light in 2006, Wright has been linked to several cases. They include Susie Lampu, the 25-year-old estate agent who was abducted and killed in 1986. Her body has never been found, but a link to Wright emerged through his ex-wife, Diane Cole. Wright and Susie worked on the QE2 ship together, and Cole checked back on Wright's diaries and found he was on shore leave when Lampu disappeared. But there is no evidence, and a senior police officer on the Lampu case described the link in 2008 as speculative. Then there is the case of Michelle Bettles. The body of the 22-year-old prostitute was found in Woodland in Dereham, Norfolk, the county next to Suffolk, in March 2002. Wright was again linked to her death by a criminologist, this time in 2012, but police dismissed that connection. So I asked Suffolk police about Wright's connection to Jeanette. This is what they said. "Since his conviction, there have understandably been a number of reports speculating as to Steve Wright's potential involvement in other unsolved homicide and missing person cases, particularly those which have occurred within Suffolk and Norfolk. Our major investigation team has carried out extensive inquiries into Steve Wright's activities prior to the offences for which he was imprisoned. He has been a consideration in several unsolved case reviews across both counties, and we remain open to any credible new information provided in this regard." So Chris's theory hangs on four planks. Firstly, Wright's links to Suffolk. He had lived there and knew the area around the A12 where Jeanette's body was found. Secondly, the fact he was living in South London where Jeanette disappeared. Thirdly, the similarities between her death and those of the Ipswich prostitutes he killed. And finally, the similarity to the murder of another woman, Vicky Hall, 10 years later in a village where Wright lived, and to which he was also linked. The bolt hole theory he mentioned is also interesting. The suggestion that Jeanette was taken somewhere and perhaps carried on drinking before being hit on the head. That would explain why no one reports seeing Jeanette again in any pubs around Brixton or indeed anywhere else after she goes missing on February the 2nd. Here are the thoughts of John Saunders.
There is always a difficulty in saying, well, how much of the armchair detective do you pursue? In all cases, there will be, particularly when notorious people have been convicted their profile will be looked at against outstanding crimes, and whether there is any evidence that could link them to it will be looked at, and if there's a need then to interview them in connection with it, then that will occur as well. I'm not aware of whether Suffolk Police pursued anything in respect of this particular individual, but I do know that they have kept the case very much alive, and it has been reviewed periodically. So I would have expected them to look at all manner of people, and again, keep that open mind and not just pin your thoughts on one person.
The links to Wright are at this point interesting rather than evidential. To solve this case, police will need far more.
And how do you keep cases like this alive all those years later?
Again, the important thing is not to ask people to try and remember where they were on that day and what they might have seen or might not have seen, because often memories get clouded and people embellish stories, and that misleads the police. I think it comes down to a far more direct appeal to get to individuals and say, did you know Jeanette? Do you know the answer to this? Do you know who she may have gone there with? And what can you tell us that will perhaps provide the evidence that can take this matter forward? And that may well be the occasion then when somebody says, right, this is the significant piece of information that we've got now. Now we're asking you to search your memories or to search your diaries or something like that, which can focus on a particular date or a time or location, but not sort of the finger in the wind type of speculation.
Why did the case go so cold?
The answer to that is quite simply, inquiries got exhausted and information didn't come back to us. The Crime Watch programme, and I've featured on Crime Watch on other occasions as well, where we've had good responses. On this one, it was very, very poor. And again, that typified the amount of information after the initial flurry. We weren't getting calls into us. Our inquiries ran their course. There were no more leads to follow. And in every case, the importance is to try and eliminate people from an inquiry, or in fact to implicate them in it. And those inquiries ran their course as well. Sadly, we had to call a halt to it. That was after, I think, we'd handled about 3,500 calls and pieces of information, and we took 400 statements. And it's not a case that gets forgotten, as we've found today, reviewing it after 30 years. There will be a person out there who knows the answer to this, or the spouse or partner of somebody who knows the answer to this, or a friend or acquaintance. And the appeal still is to that person's conscience to come forward.
The questions which remain key to solving Jeanette's case have gone unanswered for 30 years. But as we've heard, police just need one person to come forward with that vital missing bit of information which could unlock the entire mystery. If you have any information about what happened to Jeanette, please contact Andy Guy at Suffolk Police. You can email him at unsolvedcasereviews@norfolk.pnn.police.uk. Thank you for listening to this episode of Unfinished with me, Tom Bristow. If you found it interesting, please share and recommend it with friends, and leave us a review and rating on iTunes. You can also find out more about this case on the Eastern Daily Press website. That's www.edp24.co.uk, and tap in on the Unfinished Podcast tab at the top of the homepage.